Jesus, men and women that died for the Lord, seeing young boys and girls coming up, meeting one another, and finding out that you do have more than playing in the sand and doing things like that. And learn that we love the Lord and love you and each other. On this occasion, to show you something, I'm privileged to be here with the only two children I have in the world that's still living. I'm here with, I think, and I might have miscounted them. It's getting hard to count them. I think there's 8 of my grandchildren of the 13 that's living that it's this counting. I have about 43 great-grandchildren, and a bunch of them's here, and I couldn't tell you, and I don't even know them, some of them, when I see them, because they grow so fast, I can't keep up with who they belong to. But with all that, I want you, who are not related to us by blood, to know how my dear June and I have always felt about that. We love our natural relations. We have more reason to love those who love the Lord. And we love those of you who are not related to us in Christ Jesus our Lord. And I want you to know how I think, and I'm not going to argue with you about what you think heaven's going to be like. But my understanding is our natural relationship with one another will end when we come to the end of the way. But my relationship to you in the Lord will last eternally. Now you can begin to understand why I love you so much. Now, I'll try to talk about my little birth for just a minute. It's one of the most popular hymns, or it's not a song. Yes, it is a song. But it's one of the most popular chapters in Scripture is the 23rd Psalm. And I often use this expression, but I want to expand on it a little bit tonight. That first 23rd Psalm, the first statement out of that Psalm says, "The Lord is my shepherd." And I have a saying that I say many times now, if anybody here or ever reads that statement and cannot stand and say it with David, that the Lord is my shepherd, you just well to throw your Bible in the trash can. None of the blessings of God belong to you. And you cannot find them without that shepherd. I didn't get no amens, but I hope that you understand what I'm saying. Do you know the next thing he said? Oh, well, let me go back. Back up a little bit. Do you know what a shepherd is? A shepherd is one who leads sheep from place to place. And the reason the sheep have to have a shepherd to lead them from place to place, asking you to excuse me for calling you stupid, but I'm going to call you sheep, and sheep are stupid. So, would you allow me to tell you, if the Lord is not your shepherd, then who is? And I have a thought to express with you to the second phrase says, "I shall not want." Can you use that second phrase if you say, "Well, the Lord is not my shepherd"? So do you think your shepherd, whoever you're following, money, job, houses, cars, sweethearts, whatever you might think about, if you're following that, can they keep you from ever being in want? Now, if I had the strength and the energy to do so, I could take up about 10 minutes talking about want. But I'm just going to mention this. Want can reach anywhere from just having a sty in your eye to crying out, dying, and nobody able to help. Anything between. Anything. Poverty, whatever. That's what want means here. And there are some specific things in the 23rd Psalm itself that you might like to read, because when the Lord is your shepherd, then he provides the sheep with those things that they need. And it's not just today, it's tomorrow, it's the next day, and the next day, and the next day. It's the day that you get in trouble. It's the day that you get fired on the job. It's the day that you can't go to work no more. It's the day that you're so weak you can't hardly stand up. It's the day that comes that you just can even be like Job and ask God to curse the day that you were born. But if the Lord is your shepherd, none of those days you'll be in want. How can you be in trouble like that and not be in want? You can be like others. Job comes to the mind because one of your brothers stirred my heart talking about that. Job's wife just asked him, Job, why don't you just curse God and die and be over with the whole thing? You're not going to be over. I'm going to tell you something. When you draw your last breath, if God is not your shepherd, it's going to be a sad eternity for you. Because you're not going to be able to go and live with the saints and the sheep who has a shepherd that they follow, because you got nobody that can keep you out of the place prepared for the devil and his angels and all they that know not God and don't follow him. And you cannot escape him. So that is a terrible thing. So, he says, the Lord is my shepherd. You might think, if the devil is already working on you, well, I'd never say that. That sounds like somebody boasting. It doesn't. The Bible says of David that David was a man after God's own heart. Do you think he was a man after God's own heart because he didn't do certain things? He was a man after God's own heart because he thought that God was his shepherd. Do you think that because you're a sinner and don't feel good enough to follow the commandments of God and the things he set forth in our scriptures? Well, then I'll tell you, David wouldn't have made it at all. David was a terrible man. He committed adultery. He killed a man. As a matter of fact, I was probably 50 years old before I found out that that man that he killed was one of David's mighty men. He wasn't just a neighbor. He was a powerful man to help him with all that he had to do. And his adultery, he had to suffer to see that child die. Many things happened. Many things happened. We used to have a song that we sung when I was a little kid going to school. I hadn't heard it in so many years. I jotted the word down on it. And I just want to leave this with you. Any of you that might not have your mind made up, if you can make it up, I'm going to ask you to think seriously about saying with David, "The Lord's your shepherd." And this song back then had the words about accenting the positive. Bewaring of the negative. Latching on. I shake so bad when I write something down, I can't even read it. Latching on to the affirmative. And don't mess with Mr. In Between. So if you're between making decisions where you think you're worthy enough to serve the Lord and follow Him, I'll answer that for you now. You're not. You won't ever be. But I also want to tell you this. Matter of fact, Brother Zach and I were talking about it. Strong's gives a definition most people don't use about what being saved by grace is. A lot of folks got the idea they can claim to be saved by grace and then not try to do the will of God. That don't work either. Because grace is divine influence upon the heart and its effect in the life. So if you don't have that effect in your daily life, you probably don't have the influence of God in your heart either. So think about that. And I doubt I'll see many of you again. Of course, I said that a few times here, and I've been going to Shoal Creek ever since I had passed the 50-something years ago down there. And I've been telling them that since old June died. And all I can tell you now is my doctors, every time I go to see them, were the ones that told me I wasn't going to live long. They done already died. And the ones I'm going to now, they just look at me and listen to my heart. And they say, "Well, whatever you're doing, just keep on doing it." Folks, I'm going to keep on doing what I can to serve God. He's worthy to be praised by every lip in this world that has been born by spirit. I thank y'all for letting me yak off at you a little bit. God bless y'all. Come on, Nathan.